I've entitled the message for this morning, Only. Only. Look at our text once again in verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Reading this glorious passage, my mind was drawn to this word, only. Only. I do not remember if I've ever preached this message, but I've always wanted to preach a message on only. I can't remember if I've done it. Maybe I have, but if I have, it's been years because I can't remember it. Somebody says, what'd you preach on last week? I don't remember. After you preach several thousand times, the lines start getting blurred a bit. But I've always wanted to preach this message. Only. Now I have 4 points, only with regard to men. Only with regard to God. Only with regard to what we are to do. Only with regard to what we are to say. Those are the 4 points. Only. Now the first point is only with regard to man. Every one of us have experienced this. Have you ever been around somebody who does not have anything good to say about anybody? Nothing but continual criticism. Why, even if they do something good, they'll question their motives. They have nothing good to say about anybody, nothing but a critical spirit. You've been around somebody like that. Perhaps you've been the person. Perhaps I've been. As a matter of fact, I know I have been before. And that's a very ugly way to be, isn't it? To just be critical, to be condemning, to find fault with anything anybody says. You've been around people like that. Well, when the Bible speaks of man, that's the way the Bible speaks. Not in a critical way the way you or I would do, because we're trying to make somebody else's star shine dimmer so that we might look brighter. That's just not what this is about. This is about an accurate representation of man. I'm going to read 4 different scriptures. First, turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Only with regard to what God says concerning man. Verse 5. Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every, not mostly, but every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, nonstop, continually. Now that's God's testimony of me. That's God's testimony of you. Every imagination of the thoughts of your heart is only evil continually. Believe that. I'm not asking you to figure it out. I'm asking you to believe that. This is God's testimony. And if I do not believe that regarding myself, I'll never look to Christ. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, I'm talking about my heart, is only evil continually. Now would you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Right after the book of Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29, the wise man makes this statement. Lo, this only, there's that word, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they sought out many inventions. I cannot blame God for my state of being. Yes, every imagination of the thoughts of my heart is only evil continually. Somebody says, well, that's God's fault. He could have kept that from happening. Well, half of that's true. He could have kept that from happening. The fall is all a part of his purpose. There's no question about that. But that doesn't take away my personal responsibility for my sin. I was created upright. Adam was created upright. And man sought out many inventions. You can't blame God for your sin. Your sin is all your fault. Amen? It's all your fault. You're not a victim. You can't blame your upbringing. You can't blame God's sovereignty. You can't blame anyone but yourself. This have I seen only, the wise man said. God created man upright, and man sought out many inventions. Psalm 62. Verse 4. They only, Psalm 62, verse 4, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Here is what the Lord says regarding me and you. Every imagination of the thoughts of our heart is only evil continually. It's all our fault. And here's the nature of our sin. Seeking to cast him down from his excellency, from his glory. Every sin, every act of unbelief, every thought of unbelief, every attempt at salvation by works is an attempt to cast the glorious one down from his excellency. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I want you to look at these with me. I could quote them, but I want everyone to see this is the Word of God. Verse 44. How can you believe? These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Pharisees. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not that honor that cometh from God only? The fact of the matter is, you and I cannot believe. We lack the ability to believe as long as we're seeking honor from one another, and not that honor that cometh from God only. Now there's the state of man with regard to this word only. Every imagination and thought to your heart, my heart, only evil continually. It's all my fault. I can't blame God. God has made man upright. Man has sought out many inventions. And here's the nature of sin. It's seeking to cast him, the glorious one, down from his excellency, to exalt the flesh over him. It's seeking honor from men and not from God, which makes faith impossible. In our text, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, what a stream of praise. I love it when the Apostle Paul is writing and all of a sudden he just interrupts himself. And he comes out with some stream of praise right in the middle of what he's saying. He's thinking about what he said. Now, look in verse 17. Well, first, let's read verses 15 and 16, which led up to verse 17. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Everybody ought to jump for joy at this statement, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I love the absence of an adjective. Doesn't say he came to save believing sinners or repentant sinners or elect sinners or sorrowful sinners or sensible sinners. Or no adjective. Just sinners. Would that describe you? Well, Paul says regarding himself, of whom I am the chief, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. I'm the pattern. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I'm the pattern. This is how God works. To them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting, me and you. And then he comes out with this stream of praise. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. How infinite is the wisdom of God? The world, by wisdom, by its own wisdom, knew not God. That's all it could come up with. The world, by wisdom, knew not God. But oh, the infinite wisdom of God. And I want you to think about this. God only wise has made a way to be absolutely just and justify, clear of all guilt. And I don't know what else word to use, but to clear of all guilt a scumbag, a sinful man like me. What wisdom that God could find a way to take somebody like me, a sinful as I am, drinking iniquity like water, as the scripture says, somebody who every imagination of his thought of his heart is only evil continually, someone who has sought to cast him down from his excellency, someone who's blamed my sin on somebody else. God has found a way to be just and say, Todd Nybert has never sinned. Now that's glorious, isn't it? That's glorious. And that's done through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the wisdom of God, that he's made a way for me to be just, him to declare me to be just, and it's really so. It's really so. It's not just changing ledgers. It's not just saying one thing and it being another. It's really so. What wisdom on God's part. John chapter 17, verse 3 says, "This is life eternal." This is the Lord speaking. "This is life eternal, that they might know thee," what? "The only true God." As opposed to the many false concepts of God. There's so many of them. But there's only one true God. The God of the Bible. And only this God is God. All other gods are false. The God of free will is a false God, a non-existent God. A God who is not the God of predestination and election is a non-existent God. It's a figment of man's imagination. But what a blessing it is to know. I mean, to know Him. I know the Lord. He knows me. He knows my name through the gospel. To know the only living God. And His Son, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know, I love to think of the Lord Jesus Christ in this light. The Father sent Him. He sent Him. I love that passage of Scripture when they said, "What must we do that we might work the works of God?" And He answered, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent." Now the Father sent Him for a specific purpose. He said in John 6, 38 through 40, "This is the will of Him that sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him might have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We have two onlys in these two verses of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. "Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and," what? "Only potentate. The King of kings and the Lord of lords." When I hear people speak of powerful men and women, there's no such thing. There's nobody that has any power at all. Power belongeth unto the Lord. Christ said, "All power is given unto me." Now, if He has all power, if power belongeth unto the Lord, what kind of power does any man have? Zilch. Zero. They are God's pawns doing God's will in His hand. Don't be afraid of men. They have no power. I love what the Lord said. "Be not afraid of them that have power to kill the body, but after that they have no. There's nothing else they could do. I tell you who to be afraid of. Fear who him who after he hath killed the body hath power to cast the soul into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. He is the one to fear. He is the blessed and only potentate." Power. That's what that means. The Lord of lords and the King of kings. Now look in verse 16. Remember, we're talking about only with regard to God. He's the only one who has power. Look in verse 16 of 1 Timothy 6. "Who only hath immortality." He's the only one. You know, I hear people say, "Jesus is alive and doing well." That's blasphemous. He's life. He's not alive. He's life. He has life in himself. And if you have any life, it's because he gave it to you. He has life in himself. He only hath immortality. I love it when Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Listen to me. His life, his perfect obedience, his life before God is the life of every single believer. And when my name is called up on Judgment Day, someone is going to answer for me, present and accounted for, with a perfect life. He only hath immortality, dwelling in the light that no man can approach to, who no man can see, has seen, nor can see, to whom be glory. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Verse 5. And let me give you a hint before I start reading this passage of Scripture. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said was the greatest faith he'd ever seen. He said, I've not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Now this gives us some idea of the importance of this. Verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now here's wisdom. This man doesn't tell the Lord what to do. He just states his case before the Lord. And Jesus saith unto him, verse 7, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You don't have to move from one geographical place to another. You're God. All you have to do is speak it, and it takes place. All you have to do is will it, and it takes place. Lord, speak the word only. That's what I... Speak the word only. Lord, speak the word only concerning my salvation. Will my salvation. Speak the word only. And my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority. I understand authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. I understand authority. And I know you have all authority. And all you have to do is will it. Comes to pass. Speak the word only. I don't need an experience. All I need is for you to say it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. He marveled. Stop there for just a second. We just read in Galatians chapter 1 where Paul said to the Galatians, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ to another gospel. Now, I remember hearing Henry Mahan say this once to a congregation, and it was something that always has stuck with me. He said, anything I hear about anybody here, including me, doesn't make me marvel. I mean, I hope it doesn't take place. I pray by the grace of God it doesn't take place. But anything I hear of anybody in this room, I'm not amazed by it. But here's something I would marvel at. If any of you would leave grace and go to another gospel. Now that's something to marvel at. And that's what Paul said. I marvel. But here we have the Lord marveling. And what did he marvel at? The simplicity and the power of this man's faith. He gave it to him in the first place. And he marveled at his faith. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And he said, I've not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And then in Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, I won't ask you to turn there, you can write it down. But it said, only thou art holy. Only. Isn't anybody else? Only thou art holy. Does your heart respond to that? That's the truth. That's the truth. Well, what about believers who have a holy nature and are called holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, chosen to be holy? Aren't they holy? Yes, they are, but whose holiness is it? Wasn't theirs. When the seraphims were flying around the throne saying, holy, 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 wasn't talking about me or you, was he? Talking about the glorious Son of God. Only he is holy. Only he is other. And any holiness that you and I have is his. He's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Only he is holy. And then I love in this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 5, you can look this up, but there's some men that had a buddy that was crippled, and they wanted to get him in to see the Lord, and they wanted the Lord to heal him. That was their great desire, for their friend to be healed. And the place was packed. They couldn't get in. They got up on the roof, knocked a hole in the roof, and lowered him down into the room. Now, I would have loved to have been there to see that. Can you imagine how strange that would have been when the Lord was preaching and all of a sudden you see stuff falling out of the roof and this man being brought down by rope? And you know what the Lord did? He looked at him and he said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. He didn't say you're healed. That's what they brought him for. But he gave him something better. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Don't you want the Lord to say that to you? Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And the Pharisees that were there said, who is this that speaketh blasphemies? There's one only that can forgive sins. God. That's true, isn't it? What would it mean if I said to you, your sins are forgiven? You know what it would mean? Absolutely nothing. I don't have the power to forgive sin or to say somebody's sins are forgiven or my own sin. I've got nothing like that. Neither do you. There's only one who can forgive sins, God only. Here's what they didn't know. They were right about that, but here's what they didn't know. This was God only speaking to them. He has only authority to forgive sins. And beloved, if he forgives your sins for his own blood's sake, for his own name's sake, you're forgiven. And then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, we read where the devil was trying to tempt Christ. And he promised that he would give him all the kingdoms of the world if he would only bow down and worship. Now, I've thought about that scripture over the years many times, how Satan had the authority to say something like this to the Lord. And he said, all this is given to me. And it was true. It was true. All of this was given to me. But that being said, what he didn't know, it was all Christ's anyway. It all belonged to him. Satan says, I'll give this to you if you worship me. It's not yours to give. It's already mine. But how did he answer him? He answered him with the scripture. him only shalt thou worship. It is written, him only shalt thou worship. And the last only I want to speak with regard to God is found in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, where the Lord said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. Now, wait a minute. Was Ishmael his son? He's not acknowledged as such. Ishmael was the child of the flesh. God never acknowledges the product of the flesh as a son. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, the child of promise, whom thou lovest, and offer him up as a burnt offering to me. Now, only with regard to what we're to do, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 17? Matthew chapter 17, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. And we don't have to wonder about what they were talking about, because Luke's account tells us they spake of the decease which he should accomplish. And there Peter and James and John are looking at what's going on. Verse 4. Then answered Peter. I don't recall anybody asking him anything. But then answered Peter. You know when you hesitate to say something for fear it shall be real stupid? Peter didn't have that filter. He now says, I believe, the most stupid thing any human being has ever said. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, three places of worship. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He's putting these sinful, finite men in the same place of the Lord Jesus Christ. What could be more stupid, ignorant, wicked than that statement? And that was Peter that made that statement. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Can you imagine how Peter and they felt at that? I think they knew the enormity of the foolishness of that statement. When the Lord speaks from glory, this is my beloved Son, not Moses, not Elijah. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. What did they do? They hit the dirt. They were sore afraid, the scripture says. Look in verse 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man but Jesus only. Now there are two words that go so well together. Jesus only. Not Jesus and. Not Jesus and my faith. Not Jesus and my repentance. Not Jesus and my sincerity. Not Jesus and my works. Jesus only. You have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ unless you have seen Him only as everything in your salvation. When Paul spoke of fearing the Corinthians being corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ, 2 Corinthians 11:3, that word simplicity is the onlyness of Christ. He only is everything in this book. He only is everything in my salvation. He only is why God does everything He does. They saw no man save Jesus only. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Verse 49. Now remember, this point is only with regard to what we are to do. Well, we see Him only. We see Him only. But look at this in Luke chapter 8, verse 49. While He yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to Him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the Master. The Lord was going to heal her, and somebody comes ahead of Him. She's already dead. It's too late. Nothing can be done. She's dead. Don't trouble the Master about this anymore. Verse 50, but when Jesus heard, He answered Him saying, Fear not, believe only. And she shall be made whole. Believe only. Don't you dare add anything to that. Believe only. We have a song in our hymn book entitled Trust and Obey. You know why we don't sing that hymn? The Lord did not say, believe and obey. He said, believe only. Now, I realize that some people will hear that and say, well, he's an antinomian. What's an antinomian? It's someone who thinks that grace is an excuse and a license to sin. And well, believe only. You don't need to worry about anything you do. Just believe only. Why, that will lead to sin. That will lead to disobedience. Well, if you don't have any grace, I guess it will. You know, I like what Spurgeon said. He said, because somebody will hang themselves with a rope, do we get rid of rope? No. I mean, if somebody hangs themselves with that, that's what they wanted to do, and they'd find an excuse any way you looked at it. But the Lord said, believe only. Not believe and. Believe only. Because as soon as you put the word and in there, believe and, you've missed faith altogether. Faith in Christ is faith alone. You look to Him alone. Believe only, and thy faith shall be whole. Now, like I said, some people will charge me with antinomianism, but you know, I don't care as long as I know I'm not one. I don't care if somebody calls me that. As a matter of fact, I'm concerned if somebody doesn't call me that. I really am. I mean, that means the gospel hadn't been preached very clearly. I don't want to be one. but I want to be called one. Because they called the Lord that. Behold, a gluttonous man, a wine-bibber, the friend of publicans and sinners. In other words, they're saying you're an antinomian. So I don't mind being called an antinomian as long as I know I'm not one. I'm not. But the call of the gospel is believe only. What must we do to work the works of God? This is the work of God. Not one of the works of God, the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. Now let me remind you, I've said this a lot in the last several months, I'm going to say it again. Faith doesn't have anything to do with what you believe about yourself. Somebody says, I believe I'm saved. Doesn't mean you are. Somebody says, I'm afraid I'm not saved. That doesn't mean you're not. Faith has absolutely nothing to do with what you think about yourself. It has wholly with what you think concerning Him. God's view of you right now is seen in how you view His blessed Son. Do you believe that He is all in salvation? Yes, I do. That's how God sees you. Complete in Him. Last point, only with regard to what we are to say. Now we've considered only with regard to what we are to do. Now this last point, only with regard to what we say. Now here's a good place to begin. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Verse 4. David says, against thee, thee only have I sinned. Now wait a minute, David. What you did with Bathsheba was wrong. You sinned against her. What about Uriah? You had him murdered. What about him? Well, think of what he's saying. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that you might be clear when you speak. And that thou mightest be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Now what does that mean? That means that I am to take sides with God against myself. I confess my sin, and whatever you judge is right. You're clear with whatever you speak. If you pass me by and send me to hell, just and holy is thy name. Now that's what it is to confess your sins. You take God's side against yourself. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You ever done that? Have you ever taken sides with God against yourself? That's a good place to begin. While you're in the Psalms, turn to Psalm 71. Well, I've got the wrong scripture down. Where does it say, I've got Psalm 71:16. I thought it was, but somewhere it says, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. Can somebody look that up on your phone or something real quick for me, so I want everybody to see it. That's right? Oh, I just read the first sentence. Okay. Psalm 71:16. I will go on in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness. What next? even of thine only. If I make mention of my righteousness, it is a self-righteousness composed of filthy rags. In other words, when David said, I'll make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only, it's because his righteousness is the only righteousness there is. And the only righteousness I have is his righteousness. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. Now, if I speak of my own righteousness, I'm afraid I'm showing a whole lot of similarity to those people that Paul warned about in Romans 10. He said, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Still in the Psalms, turn to Psalm 62 once again. Just let me read these real quick and I'll stop. David says regarding the Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 62 verse 2, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He only is my rock and my salvation. Now, if I said He's my rock, and he's my salvation, be true, wouldn't it? But I like this better. He only. He only is my rock. He only is my salvation. Turn to Psalm 4. Verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Now, I don't know how many times I've thought about this verse of Scripture when I'm wide awake at night and think, why can't I just go to sleep in peace? I don't know. People have trouble sleeping. But at this time, David didn't. He said, I will lay me down in peace and sleep. And here's why. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Now, if it said, thou, Lord, makest me to dwell in safety, I couldn't get that much confidence from. Well, I could, I hope. I don't know, but that's not the way David said it. He said, thou, Lord, only. And that word safety is carelessness, carefree. And if he only is my salvation, I'm carefree. Nothing for me to worry about if he is my rock and my salvation. Only. Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Let's pray together. Lord, how we thank you and praise you for your onlyness. Now, according to your will, bless this word for your glory. Reveal yourself to each heart here according to your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.